You're listening to the Journey Church podcast. At Journey Church, our vision is to see dreams discovered and built, and broken dreams rediscovered and rebuilt. Our mission is to love God, His Word, and His world. For more information on how to connect with us, please stay tuned following the message. Now, we trust that you'll be blessed by the following presentation.
Pride gets in the way. Pride steals the place of God in our lives, and that includes in how we serve. So this is why we believe it's important to ask this question. This question, how did Jesus serve? What was the culture of Jesus in serving? How did Jesus serve? And we're going to look at, we're looking at four areas throughout this series. And last week, Pastor Jesse talked about how to serve the local church. And a little kind of praise report, we had 109 of these serve cards turned in last week of you guys that are ready to serve here at Journey Church. And that's super awesome. We're super stoked to have you guys kind of stepping up and stepping into these areas. And if you missed last week's message, we give the podcast out on the JC app. We do we have our YouTube channel going on now. Just look for Journey Church Troy on YouTube. You can watch the messages now. And if you didn't get a chance to fill out one of these Connect cards, these serve cards, these are available at the foe. It kind of shows you the areas that are available. Also, you can use the Connect cards and the seat backs in front of you. But take advantage of that. We'd love to have you in the departments. But it was a great response. And so it's my privilege, my honor, to get to deliver a message today that I think, while the easiest to preach because of the obviousness of the content, and you'll understand what that means, it's the hardest to live out. And I told Jesse that. I was like, oh, thanks for giving me this one, because, I put it together, it's like, whew, heavy, because like going through the study and just kind of meditating on it, praying about it, it's like everything I'm about to talk about, I got to live out in my own home with my own family, right? And most of the time it wasn't the fun part, it was a reminder, like, this is why we need to be talking about this. And it's like, man, I got to get up in front of, you know what I'm saying? It's like, whew. So, man, it's heavy. It's a little bit convicting. So maybe none of it will apply to you guys because you guys are doing great. So if this is just me using you as a soundboard, it's still going to be good. But we are talking about this. How to serve your family. How to serve your family. The family unit is important, right? We all believe that? Amen. The family unit is important. We see at the beginning of creation that when God created man and then woman, he established what would become the bedrock of society, the family. Right? And he didn't wait to get this idea and put this idea in motion. Like, it was right there, like right when they were created, boom. He didn't tell Adam, when he created Adam, all right, man, just go out and find some hobbies and just do your own thing and just find some cool things to do. And whenever you get bored, just come on back and we'll figure out the next thing. No, he didn't say that. He didn't create Eve and put her together and bring her in and say, okay, now Eve, you should totally go forth and find yourself. Right? Yeah. And Eve was like, I know. I just need to date me right now. So when I'm ready, I'll come back and then I'll go with that boy. Like, no, that's not how it worked. Right? God didn't give him a chance. He put them together and said, go forth and what? Multiply. Essentially starting the family unit, establishing it there, right there at the beginning. Go start a family. So they did, and here we are. And everything's great, right? Our families are in tip-top shape. Our families, I mean, my family, we act, we look, we behave like God intended, 100%. Like, it's all great. Like, we're good. They, perfect example, Adam and Eve, and like, we're doing great. Amen? Amen from a few. We're going to learn from you guys. You guys can come up and help give these points. But no, that's not how it was, right? That's not how it is. There's so many different family structures today. I, for one, came from a home with divorced parents. My mom remarried when I was young, and so I grew up having two fathers in my life. My older sister and I have two half-brothers, but we are a family, right? We're a family. There's so many different structures of family, and the intent behind today's message is not to define or say what is the perfect family structure, But the purpose is this: to understand how to serve the family we have. Are you guys on board with that? All right, here we go. Let's jump into John chapter 2. It's going to be on the screen behind me. It's on the app if you guys are following along. There's notes there, so download the JC app. John chapter 2, verses 1 through 5 says this. It says, on the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour is not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Just do whatever he tells you." Now first, allow me to say this. Even at the age of 36, if I were to, or should I say, when I do respond to my own mother the way Jesus responded to Mary, I'm going to get smacked. Right? Like, there's a little bit of a tone there, Jesus. Like, woman, like, what do I care? It's not my deal. Like, and no, that's not acceptable, right? So kids, probably wouldn't be right to say don't follow Jesus' example in any way, but you know what I'm saying. Like, you know, just respond a little bit lighthearted, a little bit more lighthearted to your mom. Secondly, let me ask this. What occupations are represented in this room? Just shout them out. What do you guys do for a living? Where do you work? Accounting, teacher, tile setter. All right. So we all have these good jobs, good careers. So let me ask you this. When you get home, do you want to be an accountant? No. When you get home, do you want to be a tile setter? When you get home, do you want to be a teacher? No. Let me explain to you and share with you the culture of my family growing up. My mother was a nurse. My mother is a nurse. She became a nurse when I was 3 years old. She's been a nurse for about 33 years. And I remember she would just work tirelessly, and she did the 12-hour overnight shifts in the labor and delivery room for the longest time. And then for the last, 15 years, she's worked on the team that does heart surgery. And she's the nurse that, like, gets to hold your heart when the doctor's doing his thing. Like, it's pretty cool. I've asked her if I could come and, like, help her and, like, just kind of see, like, take your son to work day. It's not happened yet, but, I mean, that's super cool. Like, she gets to do that, right? So she knows her stuff, all right? She's a great nurse. My dad was a carpenter, very skilled carpenter, could do anything. He ran companies, he was a foreman, he was a lead guy, he built houses on his own, and he would work tirelessly, and he would, you know, work every day, all day, overtime. Then in the evenings, you know, carpenters, you do side jobs. On Saturday, you're doing a side job, you're doing a favor for somebody else, right? So I was raised by a nurse and a carpenter. And to this day, my siblings and I talk about this. It's that when we were growing up, whenever we got sick, or maybe we'd be outside and we get hurt, like, a busted knee or a scraped elbow, we fell off our bike, like, this is a scenario that we would do. You know, let's say I fell off my bike, which I did often, and I busted up my elbow, okay? And so I'm hobbling up the street, you know, and I don't know why. I mean, six-year-old, you're really dramatic, so when your elbow's busted, you limp for some reason. I don't know if that makes sense. So, like, my elbow's busted, and I just gotta, like, you know, dragging my bike behind, you know. I make it up the hill, and I get to the yard, you know, and make it to the door, and I walk inside. I'm sniffling and sobbing. Little Jake busted his elbow, guys. I need some sympathy, right? So I open the door, and there's Mom standing at the top of the stairs of our split-level house. And I walk in, I make it up the stairs, and then I walk around Mom, my nurse mother, and I go to where Dad is sitting at the dining room table to take care of me. Now, why would I do that? Why did we do that? Because that's where we would find sympathy. We went to our carpenter dad. We bypassed nurse mom to go to our carpenter dad to find sympathy, to take care of our boo-boos and bandage us up and you know, clean us up and tell us we're okay, we're going to be fine. Because my mom When she was at home, she didn't want to be a nurse, right? We go around mom because even now, back then, it was almost worse. Back then, it was like, if you weren't producing vomit, if your fever wasn't over 101 degrees, and if there wasn't significant blood, little bloods, whatever, if there wasn't significant blood, you were fine, right? You were fine, and it wasn't because she didn't care about us. You know, it wasn't because she wasn't a good mother. That's not what I'm saying at all. But she didn't, well, part of it, she didn't want her kids to be a bunch of hypochondriac little wimps, right? And even today, I should say, as an adult, like, call mom, hey, like, I'm feeling this, like, this is going on. And she's like, now the response is, well, Jake, you're getting old. Thanks, mom. And the second thing is, like, I'm not your doctor, call your doctor. I'm like, okay, thanks, mom. Because we're fine. And to be fair, our carpenter dad took 10 years to remodel the basement, right? And our basement wasn't that big. But mom didn't want to be Nurse Barb. When she got home, she wanted to turn it off, right? She wanted to turn it off. When you get home, you want to turn it off. You don't want to be a teacher. You don't want to be a mechanic. You want to turn it off. It's the same reason me as a pastor, I don't talk to my kids about Jesus. Like, I'm done. Go talk to Danny if you need something. That's a joke, for the record. It's a joke. Talk about Jesus all the time, okay? Just relax. It's kind of a joke, you know. So here's the question of the day. Here's the question of the idea. When it comes to the idea of serving, when it comes to the idea of honoring the preeminence of God, how come when we get home, we turn it off? How come when we get home, when we're supposed to be serving, we get amped up, we get pumped up to serving, how come when we get home, we turn it off? Last week, we heard one of the best sermons on serving in the local church. We can all agree that it's important and that we'll go out of our way to serve here at church and push forward and move forward the vision that God's given for Journey Church and this community. Great. We all can agree on that. Next week, we're going to talk about how to serve our workplace. And the week after that, we're going to talk about how to serve a stranger, which we can all get on board. It's why we give to missions. It's why we give to the prisons. It's why we support the Dream Center. All this stuff for people we don't even know we might not ever meet. And we're all on board with that because our hearts are pulled into that direction that spur us to act upon opportunities to build each other up. But what about our families? What about your family? What about your home? Why is it so easy to get home and then neglect the call to serve by simply turning off the push or simply turning off the pull to serve those who are closest to us? And tell me if I'm alone in this, but I exhibit behaviors and attitudes in front of my family that I would never do or say or act in front of you guys. Like, am I alone in this? You know, like, there's times I catch myself doing things, like acting, responding, man, in ways that are would be embarrassing in front of a stranger, in front of any of my best friends. Like, but for some reason, when we get home, we turn into different people. Maybe I don't want to be lazy, or I'm not concerned with the responsibilities, and I'm okay with neglecting the responsibilities of being a husband and father and things around the house, or even a son and brother. But I want to fix that. Okay, I want to fix that. And I imagine there's those of you in this room who also want the same things. You want to focus on ways to serve your family better. Amen? So let's look at what we can learn from how Jesus served, so how we can better serve our family and or change and improve the culture of our home. Amen? Three ways. First one I'll talk about is this. Serve through your calling. Serve through your calling. If we circle back to this interaction in John chapter 2, we see a mother ask something of her son. Okay, they're at a wedding reception. It's a celebration. Everybody's having a good time. Such a good time that they ran out of wine. Who's been there? A couple show of hands. You guys are honest. But, you know, celebration, have a good time. It's fine. Right? And so when this happens, we see mom coming out to her son, finds Jesus, and the guy's kind of hanging out. And it'd be as easy like this. Like, if it was between me and mom, she'd come over and, like, hey, Jake, we're out of drinks. I need you to run down to Quick Trip and just grab some drinks and come back. Like, that's as simple as this interaction should be. Like, we're out of stuff. And that's what she says. She says, they ran out of wine. And that's all she says. Like, she didn't say much more than that. It's not told us to us that she said much more than that. She didn't offer a solution. She merely presents the problem and expects her son to take care of it. Her son, by the way, who happens to be Jesus Christ, capable of a little bit more than just jumping in the truck, going down the gas station, and get some drinks. All right, so it's like Mary knows, like, I know what you can do. Just do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what mom is saying here. And as I mentioned earlier, the response of Jesus is, in this mother and son interaction, it's a response that mothers would not normally accept. Is that right? Like, no, mom, like, it's not my fault. It's not my thing, you know? We've been going through that a lot at our house. Like, we would tell the boys, hey, do this. But, man, you want to talk about bad response, bad reaction? Like, it's happening, folks, in the Lawrence home. But we're learning from this message. We're learning from this content. But mothers, like, they wouldn't accept that, right? And I get the sense that, like us when we're at home or, you know, when we're at a wedding that's not our wedding, we're just attending, we don't have any responsibilities to it. Like Jesus, like we would feel, Jesus feels these off the clock. Right? Like, what concern is that of me? Like, it's not my thing. Like, he's turned it off. Or more accurately, I should say, he has yet to turn it on. Because what's about to lead up to is his first miracle, right? The beginning of his ministry. And so I think we can relate to this mother and son interaction because of what Mary does in response to Jesus, right? So she tells Jesus, like, hey, they're out of wine. Like, you know what to do. And he responds, like, woman, what of concern is that to me? Like, it's not my time. It's not my thing. And what does she do? She turns to the servants, and I imagine, like, the pat of an arm like a mother does. Just do what he tells you. While looking back at Jesus with those eyes that mom give, like, you're going to do this, and I'm not asking you. Walks back into the wedding. Like, take care of this. This wasn't a question. Like, it was a statement. They're out of wine. That's what you need to know. Figure it out. And then she walks away, walks back inside. Mothers, you've got that power to make that happen. Right? We can read. We can know. And I think Jesus knew. Because we know the rest of the story. We know that Jesus turned water into wine. The celebration continued. Thus, ushering in the earthly ministry of Jesus. Jesus began his ministry by serving his mother. And all the moms said,
amen.
Amen. Jesus, serving his mother, starts his ministry. And think about this as well. Jesus spent most of his life with his family. You know, apart from a little bit of what we see and mention of his childhood, we only read that in the Bible about the 3 years that he spent with his disciples and doing his earthly ministry. Most of the 30 before that was spent with his family. Family is so important. Every one of you has a calling on your life. We have callings on our lives. God's created us and designed us with a purpose and with talents and gifts, and our callings should be used, if not practiced, on our family. I mean, that's a convicting point in my life. Like, I feel I have this calling to be a leader and a pastor and all these things and to serve people. And, like, I feel like I have no choice but to just give my time away, like, to the church and to you guys and to people in need, you know, missions and all this stuff. But, you know, you can ask my wife that a lot of times we go through seasons where my home, my family is neglected because I'm spending so much time over here that I'm not home to do this, this, and this. I'm not doing 100% what I need to be doing. We all have a calling, so we all that can carry that conviction. So I need to remind myself, we need to remind ourselves that we can serve our families through our calling. Whatever your calling is, you know what your calling is. And if you don't, pray that God gives it to you and then practice that on your family. Serve your family through your calling. Number two, serve through listening. Matthew chapter 12, verses 46 through 49 says this. Shows us Jesus' teaching. It says, while he was still speaking to the people, behold, his mother and his brothers stood outside, asking to speak to him. But he replied to the man who told him, he says, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, here are my mother, here are my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Now, I'm not sure if this is bad theology or not, but I'm just going to share it. You know, because, you know, you and I, we read the same Bible, right? Pastor Jesse reads the same Bible. that you do. Pastor Brian Houston from Hillsong, biggest church in the world, reads the same Bible you do. Pastor Joe, a few doors down, reads the same Bible, preaches from the same Bible that you're reading in your devotions every day in the morning, right? So we're all reading the same Bible, and, and as a pastor and just learning to lead and learning to study and learning to dig into God's Word more, like, I can never shake that sometimes I read something in the Bible that just is funny. You know, like the whole thing with Jesus and his mom, like, Jesus is, you know, almost being disobedient to his mom, right? His mom had to get on him a little bit. But, like, there's this story here, and, I say all that because of this. Like, I preface, like, that, like, just telling you this, maybe this is not right, but, like, I want to understand, and I want to see that Jesus is perfect, which he is, but I have to wonder that maybe sometimes Jesus was a little difficult to work with. Do you guys get that sense here? Because if I was this guy, that came in, you know, Jesus is teaching, and, you know, I'll preface it with this. If you hang around church long enough, you might have church friends that everything you do with them, they turn it into this big super spiritual ordeal. You know what I'm saying? Right? I used to hang out with a guy that, for instance, you'd say, hey, let's go to Jack in the Box and get some food. Oh, all right, man, I don't know. I'm going to pray about it. He'd disappear for like 60 minutes. Like, he would just disappear for like an hour. We're over here waiting to go eat. And then a little bit later, he reemerges from his prayer closet. All right, man, let's go get some tacos. It's like, did you really have to ask God about that? Like, you know, and what were you doing for 90 minutes? Weren't you hungry? Do you have snacks in there? What's your prayer closet? Like George Costanza, you know, with a little snack under his desk. It's like, you know, but it makes you think, like, you know, do we have to be so difficult? Do we have to make these small things into big things? Because, like, when I see this guy walk in and read about this guy walking into this place where Jesus is teaching, it says, hey, Jesus, and if you got a minute, your mom and your brothers and sisters are outside. They just want to talk to you, and you got a second, they're there. And then instead of going, yeah, man, cool, I'd love to see them. I'll be right out. Instead of that, Jesus gives an overview that the breadth of his work is larger than you know and that you understand, right? So you best understand I'm busy, Jesus says, right? So if I was the one telling him, if I was the guy going to tell Jesus, like, I feel like after that response, he'd be like, okay, look, Jesus, just hear me for a second. All I'm telling you is that your mother and your family are outside wanting to talk to you. Your literal family, your literal mother and brothers, your family, they're outside, they just want to talk to you. Your family, by the way, who you put yourself in, because you, I'm pretty sure you set that up before the beginning of time. So this is the family that you know. So, like, I'm not looking for, I don't need any lesson here. I'm just, like, the messenger, right? Your mom's outside. Your family is outside. And the guy just walks away. God, this guy is just, sometimes I just can't even deal with this guy. Like, you know, we're just trying to help here, right? But I don't truly believe that Jesus is difficult. I don't believe he was difficult to work with because he was doing it on purpose, right? Like, he wasn't cognizant. He knew what the guy was asking. But from our finite brains, from our limited point of view, we cannot operate on the level that Jesus operates on. We cannot operate on the Jesus operates on. He operates on such a higher level. So what did Jesus do for us then? His ultimate service to us was what? He came to our level, right? Jesus came to our level. One of the greatest guest speakers we've ever had on this platform, on this stage, was this young Javen Kiros, Pastor Jesse's son. During a youth takeover, he interpreted John 3:16 to say this, that Jesus came down from his level to bring us to his. Jesus came down to our level to bring us to his. And I love that. And so how does this help us to serve our family? What's the point? The point is that we don't listen enough, or we don't listen the right way, right? We don't listen the right way, especially in our homes and with our families, and it's very evident with our children, or maybe even a younger sibling, because I know through raising two sons that when they are not listening the way I want them to listen, or I'm sorry, speaking, responding, behaving the way I want to listen, and they are trying to communicate with me, because they're coming to an age, they're 9 and 12, and so they're like starting to develop their own thoughts, and they're starting to understand things, and they're trying to communicate things, but sometimes we're not hearing each other, we're not listening to each other the right way, so I don't hear what they're saying, because as adults, we want our young people to just shut up and listen. Right? We want them to shut up and listen. We're higher. We know best. Our way is right. We're right. We're wise. That's enough for you to know. And when you respond to me, you do it in this way. But so much gets lost when we forget that young people do not have the same mental capacity or maturity, which goes with some adults, by the way, to understand and to communicate on our level. And so when I begin to get worked up over the way that the boys respond to me, which is quite often, I'm sad to say, a lot of times I got to pull myself back, or sometimes my wife has got to pull me back, and remind me that they're not on my level. We're not on the same level. They're not on my level of understanding, communicating, comprehending things. And that things would get so much better if I were to get on their level and listen to what they are trying to say and how they are trying to say it and understand why are they are trying to say it that way. I've got to listen. I've got to learn to listen. We have to learn how to listen. I like how it's said this way. If you're not listening to where they are, you will never get them to where they need to go. Your family, if you're not listening to where they are, whatever situation it is, argument, trying to get a project done, feelings, they've been hurt outside the home, they just want you to listen. If you're not listening to where they are, you won't get them to where they need to go. This goes for children's, spouses, siblings of any age, extended family, everybody. Serve your family through listening. Number three, serve through honor. Look at Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 11 says, let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. Now the heading above this portion of scripture, when you look in your Bible, says marks of a Christian. These are the marks of a Christian. Let love be genuine. We're supposed to have real love. We're supposed to hate what is evil and focus on what's good. You know, we're supposed to love each other like family. But it's this one right here, outdo one another in showing honor, that I want to pull out and look at. Outdo one another and showing honor. When you read that phrase, ask yourself, is this the culture of my family? Is this the culture of my family? Is this how we operate? Do we try to outdo one another and showing honor? Now, we're not a competitive family, the Lawrences or even, you know, the Bradleys and the Aholtz and you know, we're not that competitive, except for maybe Chris. You know, he brings a competitive level up in our family a little bit. But we're not competitive, you know. We've never been competitive, whether it be board games or a backyard game of wiffle ball or anything. I personally don't try to outdo anyone for anything. Like, I just don't have the personality for it. I don't have the drive for it. You know, if I come play softball with you guys, like, I'm not going to care who wins or loses or you know, if somebody bats in the right order and like, man, you guys get crazy, but that's not me. Right? I don't try to outdo anybody in anything. That was until I read this verse in preparation for this talk. Then I realized that I was, you know, as I was thinking on this section of scripture in relation to serving my family, I realized that I try to outdo people. I try to outdo my family. I try to outdo my wife in all the wrong ways. So let me paint it like this. There's what we do versus what we should do. There's what we do versus what we should be doing. What we do is this. And hear me, especially spouses. We try to score more points during an argument. We come up with better insults and put-downs when we feel hurt. We want the loudest voice. We do whatever we can to be right. We try to outdo each other in these ways much easier than the ways we should be doing, which is to give in when it truly doesn't matter. To go out of our way to help accomplish a task they think is important. To understand, just understanding, back to listening, understanding. to absorb the blows instead of deflecting back onto the other person. Absorb it, not responding, not getting defensive. That's what we should be doing. Honor is defined as this: holding in high respect. Holding in high respect. And how many times do we fail that instead of lifting our family up above us and holding them in high respect, we want to get home, turn everything we know and have been taught and believe off, and we just get super selfish. We put ourselves here when we should be down here. We're not holding our family in high respect. So let me ask you this: what would the culture of your home be if everyone in it was trying to outdo each other in honor and respect instead of selfishness? Be pretty good, right? And that's the whole point of this talk, is to honor one another, honor your family, serve your family through honor. Philippians 2, verse 3 says this, and you've heard it, says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself." And I love how the Message version says it. It says, if you have a heart, right? Paul's like, if you have a heart, like if you care even a little bit, if you say you care, then do me a favor, Paul says. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Do not be obsessed with getting your own advantage. So I hope this morning you've been thinking like, man, like that's me, or this is how I act, or, you know, like yeah, I go home and I turn it off. You know, why do I act like this in front of my family? Why do I act like this to my brothers and sisters? Why do I, you know, not taking care of mom, not taking care of dad? You know, because I just want to turn it off. But we need to be serving our families. And by showing honor to another person, by serving other people. Jesse talked about this, and serving the local church and what it does for you spiritually. And serving family and serving others and showing honor to another person, we hold in check that innate human tendency to honor ourselves. We start focusing on other people and giving them the attention, giving them the honor, the respect they deserve. We hold in check that tendency to put ourselves, to raise ourselves, to lift ourselves over them. We get rid of that pride that is that number one enemy to truly serving. Pride, again, is the number one enemy to honoring the preeminence of God. Serve your family through honor. And I got time. I want to kind of share this story, something I learned from my dad many years ago before he passed away. I remember him telling somebody, he wasn't really telling me, but I was just there. I think I was a teenager or maybe in my 20s. He was telling somebody about, you know, a time when him and mom weren't doing the best. You know, my knowledge, things were never crazy bad. But, you know, they go through a rough patch here and there. And, you know, I remember him telling the story like he would get so irritated at how she's acting, the way she does things, the way she responds to him, right? We get so annoyed and so frustrated. And so you start saying, God, like, just change her. Like, I hate when she does this. I don't like it when she does this. Why does she do this? Why don't you fix her and just do something with her? One day it clicked. Instead of praying for her to change, he started praying for him to change. He started focusing on himself. He started to say, God, change me. Work on my heart. Soften my heart. Get the junk out. Take the blinders off. And he told the guy he was talking to, encouraging him, he said this. He said, when I started to do that, when I started to pray for me instead of her, I started seeing her for who God made her to be. I started seeing her as the wife that God gave me. And I remember him saying, like, the twinkle in her smile when she would smile. He had missed that. He stopped seeing it. He's praying for himself, fixing himself, letting God work in his life. Starts seeing her for who she is, starts honoring her, respecting her, holding her at a higher level than himself, serving her through honor. So we got to work on ourselves. We got to take a deep look inside at our hearts and our intentions. So I want to close with this as our community teams can prepare. I close with this. I trust we could all believe and we all agree that the family should be protected. The family should be served. And again, I hope this talk has spurred you to start taking stock in your own family and the areas that may need some work. I encourage you to take time this week to sit around a table and have a meal together. You know, I know for a lot of us, it's hard to do that anymore these days, but take time this week to have dinner together, make it happen, sit down, and have a conversation. Check in with each other about how things are going. Parents, ask your kids how they think things are going. Let them respond. Listen to what they're saying. Listen to how they're saying it. And then respond and react accordingly. Instead of turning off that mission to serve this week, when you get home from working hard, doing your thing, coming here to serve throughout the week, serving this morning, when you get home, when you start to relax, turn up that attitude of serving, turn up the culture of serving in your home to like 110%. Just do it. Be a change in your home. Let me say this. There's those of you in this room that maybe have experienced a broken family. You've experienced brokenness. Maybe you're feeling just that loneliness, and you feel like you've screwed up, and it's all beyond repair. Let me tell you that it's not beyond repair. God's got restoration in store for your life. Let me encourage you to let God be in control of your situation. Let God be in control of your family, of your situation, no matter what it is. That's step one. Step two is try walking out these three ideas, these three ways to serve. Through calling, through listening, through honor. And let God take it from there. Amen? You know, it would have been easy for me to get up this morning and talk about ways to serve, like go home and do more chores and do some more dishes or vacuum or don't take the last slice of pizza or buy gifts. But, I mean, you guys can figure that stuff out, right? Like, you know how to do that kind of thing. You know what you need to be doing. But I thought it was important that we talk on a deeper level. You know, that we start responding to a deeper level. So I trust that you guys do too, and I trust that God has spoke to you this morning. I pray that you leave today believing the same. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Journey Church podcast. If you would like prayer or to connect with us in any way, please contact us by emailing us at info@journeychurchmo.com. You can also find more information on service times, events, and more on our website, www.journeychurchmo.com.